Well, it's expected because when you tell people how to eat, it really touches people some way. But we're going to learn today. Yesterday I spoke about diet according to the scriptures. Today I'm going to speak about health according to the scriptures. Now, this is a message that I like to have fun with all my messages, but it's a serious message. But even though it's a serious message, we all have to learn something. I'm going to take comments and questions later. Maybe. I don't know. So you're all starting great because it's about you need to smile. If I say something that upsets you, smile. Just keep smiling. I smile all the time. People think I'm either very happy or crazy. And I'm a little of both because they say you are what you eat and now you're nuts. So good, we're off to a good start. So I'm going to give a lot of scriptures today. Who wasn't here yesterday? Oh, wow. Okay, yesterday, again, that message about diet in the scriptures is on my table, and it's also in a pack of the lectures if you didn't get it. But today I'm going to teach about health according to the scriptures, and it's going to go beyond just diet alone. Kind of like yesterday did. We went beyond diet alone, right? So we're going to talk about these things, and if we have some of the things might go into what we did yesterday a little bit in some of the scriptures because there's some new people here as well. But really, what it comes down to is when I was 19 years old, I was diagnosed with an illness called inflammatory bowel disease, which means inflammation of the colon. And the doctors told me there was no known medical cure. And not until I stopped putting my trust in doctors and I started to realize that, you know, when you put a food in the ground, when you put a seed in the ground, it's supposed to grow to something. If you put that seed in the ground and it doesn't grow, well, you got to question if that's the ideal food for your body. Understand, if it wasn't considered food 100 years ago, it shouldn't be considered food today. Understand, if it has to pass your car window to be considered food, it definitely shouldn't be in your body. So there's some basic things we need to understand. I wrote a book called The Daylight Diet, which is not just talk about what we eat, but also how much, how often, and the times we eat. Because the scriptures show us that, you know, when it's daylight outside, those are the ideal times to be eating our meals, when we can see it. And when it's nighttime outside, the sun and the moon are Yahweh's timepieces, and that's when we should be sleeping and rested and not eating. And as I say, if Yahweh wanted us to eat food at nighttime, he would have made fruits and vegetables glow in the dark. So we have to get away from man's way and get back to Yahweh's way. It's custom versus design. So we're going to look at now health according to the scriptures. And does everyone have their Bibles? Wonderful, wonderful. And now, when it comes to health, I ask people all the time, what do you really want when it comes to health? And right away they tell me, they say three things. To cure disease if they have it, to avoid disease if they don't have it, and to stay looking young. These are the three things people think they want when it comes to health. But I, as they say here today, and keeping in the same thing, I submit to you. That's one of the things you'll hear often. But I submit to you. Okay. But I say that's not what people want. I say there's three things people really need. One is not a disease-free life. It's a pain-free life. You see, people don't not like their disease. They don't like the pain that comes along with the disease. I know from somebody who suffered from disease, we get attached to our diseases. There's something that happens which makes us not really dislike it. For example, we get special attention we never got before from people. We get special benefits we never got before. So there's a lot of things that attach us to our disease. It's the pain that goes along with the disease we don't want. So it's a pain-free life we don't want. The next thing is, what we want is an emotional peace. In Hebrew, it's called shalom. And meanings in Hebrew are a lot more than in English. And there's so much more to that word than just one meaning. Shalom is such a peace that completely overtakes our whole body. And then the third thing we all seek is continuous joy. First of all, the word continuous. It's not something that we desire every now and then. It's we consistently want joy in our lives. And I don't say happiness, I say joy. Because happiness is based on something that happens on the outside. That's why you're either unhappy or happy, based on something else. But joy comes from the inside. And nobody's going to take that joy away from you, regardless of what happens on the outside. So that's what we really need. Now, we have to understand, all disease has a root cause of the issue. And to get rid of the problem, you have to get rid of the root cause. You must get rid of the root cause to get rid of the problem. So the root cause might be emotional, it might be spiritual, and it might be physical. But if your root cause of your illness is a spiritual issue, and you're trying to change your diet, you might show some improvement, but that's not going to cure your illness. If your root cause is diet-related, and you're trying to do it emotional issues, that's not going to get to the true cause. So you must identify the root cause and get rid of it. I tell you, one of the main messages that they gave in the scriptures over and over again, and one of the reasons why they gave such a hard example many times was, it's about destroying the root. They say if your kids are disobedient over and over again, kill them. Destroying the root of the problem. When Phinehas took that sword and destroyed the people that were destroying the community, he was trying to get to the root. So we need to get to the root. These are extreme examples, which I don't recommend. but the point I recommend is, it's not dealing with the result, it's dealing with the root of the problem, so it doesn't keep coming back again. And I could tell you from traveling all over the world, I have met, when it comes to health, three root causes of disease: emotional, physical, and spiritual. And I tell you, just about everyone that's suffering from disease is suffering from a root cause of all three of those things. The problem is, people tend to just pick one of those three things to deal with. Many times it is diet. Oh, I'm sick and I deal with diet. I tell people, if you've done everything with your diet and you're still sick, you can be sure there's something going on spiritually or emotionally. So we have to get rid of the root cause. The question I get so often by people is about healing from disease and disease in general and diet. And I showed yesterday how out of every single topic you can give from Scripture, there's more confusion or so much confusion about the topic of diet. I also tell you, probably one of the easiest, straight up, straightforward messages in the Scriptures are about the foods we should put in our body. Why is there so much confusion about what diet is good for us when it says it so clearly? Other than Yeshua saying that he's the Messiah, there's probably not one message in all Scripture that is clear as what we should be eating. It says, these are the foods that are clean, these are the foods that are dirty. Eat the clean foods and avoid the dirty foods. It says, these are the foods for man, and these are an abomination to Yahweh. What more do you need? Why is there so much confusion? The reason why is because people aren't reading their Scriptures. Lack of knowledge. People are not reading their Scriptures. And even if they are, they might read it once in their lifetime. Not even that. I met a lady the other day, 30 years she's been a believer. She never read all the Scriptures. Where it, and don't tell people that, well, I'm not disciplined enough to do that. We're all disciplined for what we truly love. Where's your heart? It's an abomination and it's a sickness. I get so sick by seeing this. People know more words to a secular song than they know Yahweh's word. And they call themselves believers? That's a lie. That's a lie. It's not about, oh, I know Scripture, I don't know Scripture, so I'm righteous or not. It's about, what do you do with your time? Where do you spend your time? Do you spend your time studying Scripture? That's how you're going to learn it. If you're confused about diet, you can come here and ask me these questions, whatever, but I tell you, open up your Scriptures. It says every single thing you need to know about diet. Now, if you want to deal with a particular disease and what foods to eat for that disease, I can help you with that. But if you want to know what foods to eat, it says it in the Scriptures. The problem is most people don't read their Scriptures. Now, I know we're here today where people read their Scriptures more often than people don't, but we're going to review the Scriptures. We're going to go into a little review lesson of what the Scriptures truly are. Because I tell you, after this lesson, you're going to see clearly, more clearly, that the Scriptures teach us about health. And you're going to see the health message more clearly. So the first thing we're going to look at is, what is the Scriptures? What are they? What is this? Is it a book of words? What is it? What makes this book so different than any other book? The Scriptures are is a covenant between Yahweh and man. And that's our contract that we agreed to keep when we accept Yeshua HaMashiach as our Messiah. We're saying, I am making a promise. I am giving my word that the information in here, I am going to, with my full passion, every single day of my life, strive to keep the information that Yahweh tells me I must do. The guidelines, His Torah. That's what it's saying. Now, it also says about covenant that we need not go back on our word. And one of the prime examples found in Scripture is when you make a vow to keep it. Over and over again in Scripture, we have shown, because their word meant everything back then, even if they were deceived, they gave their word and they kept it, even if they were deceived. Today, your word means very little unless you have some signed court document to back it up. But in those days, somebody gave their word. What am I saying? When you make this confession with your lips to accept Yeshua HaMashiach as your Messiah, without knowing what that really means, without studying, you know, in your excitement because the rock music and everything else, and all you, I'm going to make this commitment, you're making a covenant with Yahweh. And it says in Jeremiah 11:3, cursed be the man that obeys not the words of this covenant. You're not saved by works. You're saved by the blood of Messiah. But if you truly have the blood of Messiah, if you truly feel He is your Messiah, and you truly mean it, I'm not saying you're not going to continue to do the things that you've done before, but you're not going to enjoy them. You might struggle with them, but you're not going to enjoy. If you enjoy the same things that you did before you made that confession, you got a question. Is this on my heart or not? Until you have His guidelines and instructions on your heart, you will never be healthy. You will never get to the root cause of your illnesses, or you're going to ask for illness if you don't have one. You need to get to the root cause. Your heart has to change. So we need to make that confession, but we need to mean it. We can't just speak lip service. And we know that by our actions. Do we hate the things that we once loved? Some people say in their lack of knowledge that, oh, the Scriptures are just written by man, so they're not important. Anyone that knows the Scriptures know that the commandments were written by the hand of Yahweh. We go on, and I tell you, I love to look at all different translations out there. The translations out there, I have so much joy. I don't collect them because I don't like to collect things. I'm not a pack rat. I get rid of things. Simplicity is such an important key to organization. And organization is a key to releasing stress. And releasing stress is a key to health. So I don't keep everything. I look at them, I review them, and I pass them on. So I don't have a lot of Scriptures, but I love to read them. I love to read different translations. And people always ask me which translation that I believe is best. Which translation is the best? I could tell you, as long as your translation says Yeshua is who He says He is, that translation is good enough for me. However, there are some that even don't even say that anymore. But there's a problem with all the translations people are using today. I'm looking around here and I see people walking around and I see the translation they have, and there's a problem with it. You need to rip out a page from your Bibles if you really want to make sure you're reading a good translation. And that's the page that separates the Old Covenant from the New Covenant. It's not two books, it's one. And you're never going to understand the words of Yeshua, you're never going to understand Gospel or Revelations until you understand Torah. We need to understand everything that we need to know, past, present, and future, is found in the Torah, the Gospels, and Revelation, and every other book in Scripture is given to us as an example of how to model our lives in certain situations, and there's no situations that the people in Scripture did not encounter that we can say today, well, I don't know, I don't have anything to go by as an example. And it's proven in Scripture. When you make the right choice, you're blessed, and you make the wrong choice, you're cursed. But it's also shown, regardless of what choice you make, and regardless of how many curses you have, Yahweh will not give up on you. He says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked people. I only want them to change from their wicked ways so they can live. So they can live. The Scriptures are a book of opposites. I call it, you know, we have the gospel, the oxymoron gospel. The Scriptures are a book of opposites. We have blessings versus curses, good versus evil, life versus death, or health versus disease. And even though it might seem different to us, you cannot have two opposites in your life at the same time. It might appear to us we got one thing and the other at the same time, but you cannot. You cannot have health and disease in your life at the same time. You cannot have good and evil in your life at the same time. They're opposites. There are words in the scriptures you could simply transpose and you can see the health message more clearly in the scriptures. I'm going to give you three of them right now so you can understand it. And this isn't 100% of the times, but it's the majority of the time. The first word is the word evil. From now on, when you see the word evil in scripture, transpose that with the word dis-ease. And you'll see a health message more clearly. The next word is weakness. Transpose the word weakness with sickness. And you'll understand the health message more clearly. And finally, we look at the word strength. Transpose the word strength with the word health. And you'll see a health message more clearly. We have to understand in the scriptures there are some things that are revealed to us and some things that are hidden. The problem with man today is we look so hard for the things that are revealed, that are hidden from us, that we tend to overlook the things that were revealed to us. Yahweh says in his time he will reveal all things that need to be revealed to us when we are ready. We need to start looking at the things he has revealed to us, which are so obvious. And many people miss this, and this is one of the major reasons why there's so much prayer for healing of disease in the churches, why there should be praising for great health. We have to understand. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed. But be transformed by the ongoing renewing of your mind, that you may discern what is good, acceptable, and even the perfect will of Yahweh. We live in a today that's so far against Scripture. It's so immoral, but people don't even understand because they're so confused. People say, well, I'm a good person. Well, who determines what good is? Don't tell me you're going by how you feel. Feelings can get us in a lot of trouble. I tell you, one of the most important messages I ever heard, the title was Decision versus Emotion. Decision versus Emotion. Understand, emotions are not supposed to dictate how we live. They're supposed to warn us when we're doing something wrong. It's our decisions we're supposed to live by, and we're supposed to make our decisions when we're in the right situation and under the right mindset. You've made a decision to have Yeshua as your Messiah. You made that decision to keep the guidelines of Yahweh as your guidelines for life, regardless of what the world says and the world does. So if you stick to your decision, you're not going to be changed. Well, I'm not hungry. Oh, I see some good-looking food. All of a sudden, I'm hungry. You stick to your decision, decision versus emotion. And if you're too weak to do it for yourself, do it for him. Because the healthier you are, the more you're going to get out there and give the good gospel out there. So we need to get this done however you need to get it done. And it all starts with the understanding, and we have to understand where it starts. You cannot go to a movie in the middle of the movie and expect to know what's going on. And if you ask the person next to you, chances are they came late and they don't know either. But instead of them saying, I don't know, what are they going to do? They're still going to try to make something up and explain it because they got there before you, so they're going to think they know what they're talking about. Everyone seems like a genius if you don't know what they're talking about. Does anyone in this room speak Chinese? No one does. So I can come up here blebberish and say, I know Chinese, and you say, that's pretty good. But if one person knows Chinese, I'm exposed. You cannot go in the middle and try to understand something. You have to understand from the beginning. And the scriptures do not start in the gospel. The scripture starts in Genesis. That's what it means. It means beginning. The Torah is the beginning. And that's what we need to understand. And we look again at all the examples of scripture. The wisest, healthiest, oldest living people ever to live on the history of the planet were the people that observed Yahweh's Torah. The examples are set for us of how to model our lives over and over again. They had laws about everything dealing with disease, diet, sickness, every immoral thing out there. They had laws and guidelines, and they kept them. And only when they started to go away from them did they run into trouble. Did things start to happen, just the same thing that was happening. They were no longer set apart. They were no longer set apart. We look in the Torah what it says about several things when it comes to health. The first thing is how long our lives should be. Now we covered this a little yesterday, but we're going to look at it again. How long shall our lives be? In the Torah, it clearly tells us how long our lives should be. But man gets confused by this, and I was very confused until somebody showed me the light. The answer is, Yahweh does not put a limit on our age. Some of you might think 120 years based on the scriptures in Genesis, but understand, he was telling Noah 120 years or so before the flood that man's days will be 120 years, meaning they got 120 years to get right with his word before the end will come. Because after the flood, men lived longer than 120 years. Yahweh gave the people 120 years to get right. And the same thing with Abraham. When Abraham was in the promised land and then he left, he said, I'm going to give this to your descendants one day. And then the Israelites came in over the Jordan and they came into the land and killed everyone, or at least they were supposed to kill everyone, if they would have been obedient enough to do it. But he came there and that gave the people 440 years before that happened to get right with Yahweh's word. And the only one that did was one of them, Rahab, and he spared her. If you are doing something that's not right, that shouldn't be done, if you're eating something that's not healthy, get out of the mindset of thinking, well, I got away with it this long, so I guess it's good enough for me. No, you need to start thinking, well, that's Yahweh's mercy upon me, giving me time to get this right and get the answer. And I'm telling you, you better change soon because his judgment will come quick and swiftly. But he's given you time to wake up and get right with his message. Stop thinking, well, I got away with it, so it's good enough for me, I'll keep doing it. When you find out it's bad for you, that's when it's time to change. James 4:17, to know good and not to do it to him it is sin. To know good and not to do it to him it is sin. See, if you don't know you're doing something wrong, you don't feel bad about it. But once you find out, that's where depression sets in. Then we start getting depressed. So we need to make the right choices, and we need to stick to this. Genesis 6:3 says, man's days will be 120 years. How old did Moses live to? As a great example of the length we can live to, but it's not saying we must. Moses was 120. But when Moses was 119, the man was climbing mountains. The man was climbing mountains. Not only will Yahweh not limit our lifespan, but he won't even come close to limiting our vitality and our strength. And the scriptures show this clearly. I'm going to review something right now that we reviewed yesterday about the length of our lives because I feel it's important because people are misled by this. Our actions have a say in the length of our lives. During the time of Moses, it says in Psalms, Psalms 90, 10, 70 years are given to some. Some even live into 80. The people that rejected Torah, their lifespan was cut many years because they started rejecting Torah. Moses lived to 120. These people are living to 70 and 80. We look at what it says in the scriptures about the length of our lives. It says in Ecclesiastes 7:17, do not be a fool. Why die before your time? It goes on to say in Psalms 55:23, bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And then it goes on to say in Proverbs 10:27, the fear of Yahweh adds length to life, but the year of the wicked are cut short. The year of the wicked are cut short. Proverbs 10:27. And then reverse that, and we look at him adding years to our life if we're obedient. You look at King Hezekiah in 2 Kings 25. He was on his last breath, on his deathbed, and he repented, and Yahweh added 15 years to his life. We see the examples right there in Scripture. How do we obtain the blessing of a long life? I'm going to give you this answer, but before I do, does anyone have a piece of paper? A sheet of paper. If you didn't sign it yesterday, I'm going to pass it around. If you could put your email on there with the state you live in. That's all I need. Because when I come to your state, I'm not checking up on you. I want to let you know I'm coming. I'll sign you up for my electronic email, so my electronic newsletter. So if you didn't sign it yesterday, that's great. How do we obtain the blessing of a long life? Well, it tells us, you know, Proverbs is another word for what? Does anyone know? Wisdom. Proverbs is another word for wisdom. And in Wisdom 4:10, it says, my son, receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. It goes on to say in Proverbs 3:1, forget not my Torah, but let your heart guard my command. For the length of days long life, and shalom shall they bring to you. Is that not what we said we want? Now we're going to look at something different than we did yesterday. We're going to look at disease and the scriptures and what they say about it. What do the scriptures say about disease? Well, I'm telling you, the scriptures, Yahweh never had it in his mind for us to suffer from disease. He never wanted us to. It says in Psalms 139:14, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are your works. It goes on to say in Genesis 1:31, we are made in Yahweh's image and it is good. Cancer, diabetes, strokes, this is not marvelous and good. Something happened along the way. Genesis 1:26 and 1:28 says, as humans were supposed to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and all living organisms. What's a virus? It's a living organism. We are to have dominion over that. That is not supposed to overtake us. But that's what's happening. See, Yahweh never had it in his plan, and he tells us how to avoid sickness and disease. He tells us in Exodus 15:26. Exodus 15:26 says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim, and do all that is right in his sight, give ear to his commands and keep all of his statutes, he will put none of the disease upon you that he has put upon the Egyptians. Now, this isn't about Egyptians. This is about the non-obedient. If you diligently listen to his word, keep ear to his commands, and keep all his statutes, he will not put the same disease upon you as he has put on the non-obedient. The non-obedient. We're called set apart for a reason. And that's not because we're supposed to fall apart. That's because we're supposed to be set apart from everyone else out there who doesn't have Yahweh's guidelines. That's the true health insurance we need. Fear and worry is a sin. And so many people are worried about losing their jobs, not because they won't have money, but because they won't have drug insurance. I don't call it health insurance, I call it drug insurance, because it doesn't pay for health, it pays for drugs. They worry so much about that. Understand, it says not to make an idol out of anything in the scriptures, and people are going to make an idol out of disease, putting cancer above Yahweh. Leaving Yahweh, well, now I got cancer, I got to listen to the doctor. That C word becomes more important than Yahweh. Yahweh can do all things, but people start doubting if he can cure cancer if they have it. We need to get our priorities in order. We need to get this right. There's many different things that will take us away from Yahweh and will put sickness on us. Fear, jealousy, lust, deception. But I'm going to tell you today, or I submit to you, there are two things that really we need to work on and look at immediately. The first thing is knowledge. And the second thing is laziness. Knowledge and laziness. First, most people do not have the knowledge, and then when they get the knowledge, because they're eating so bad, they're too lazy to do anything with it. The knowledge. Look what it says in Scripture about knowledge. Job 28:28 says, to man he said, see, the fear of Yahweh, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. It goes on to say in Daniel 12:10. Daniel 12:10 says, many shall be purified and cleansed through trials, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. But the wise shall understand. Are you writing these scriptures down? Daniel 12:10. Are you getting these? Some people say, Paul, hand out a flyer with these scriptures or put it up on the board. No, I want you to write it down and pay attention. If I'm talking too fast, write faster. No, raise your hand if you didn't get it. I'll repeat the scripture. But we need to remember the scripture. Some people say, well, the new technology with the PowerPoint and the, you know, Billy Graham probably reached more people in his lectures, tens of thousands of people. He never had PowerPoint. You know? So if you're too lazy to write that, you got other issues. And some people, what they do in my lecture, they forget to bring a paper. Or they don't think they need a paper. And then I look and I see them with this little tiny paper and this little miniature golf pencil. Well, I'm sorry, we're in the South. This little putt-putt pencil. And they're writing things down. You know, so we need to, you know, organization. What else does it say about knowledge? it looks on and it goes on and on. Isaiah 33:6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times, and the strength of Yeshua, and the fear of Yahweh, that is man's treasure. We look at lack of knowledge. There's one scripture I'm going to give you. There's so many I could have given you, but I'm going to give you one scripture here now because man takes this apart. Everyone that I know at least teach the health message. They always use this scripture, even if they're not a believer. You see, it's so funny what they do. They use science and scripture when it's good for their message, but then they say they don't believe in that. I'm going to give you the scripture now that they use, but here's the problem. The scripture is Hosea 4:6. Hosea 4:6 says, my people have perished for lack of knowledge. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I reject you from being priests for me. Since you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children. Understand, heart disease, obesity, lung cancer, these things are running family. Smoking cigarettes and overeating runs in family. We have to set an example for our children. A proper example. And we have to, you know, help them make sure they do that. So we need to make sure we understand about knowledge. And the only way we're going to get that is continuously to read and study His Word. The only way we're going to get that knowledge about Yahweh is to read and study His Word. Some people say, well, I don't got to read the Scripture. His Spirit speaks to me. Well, you better read some Scripture and confirm it's His Spirit speaking to you. Because if that Spirit that's speaking to you says something opposite than what that Word says, guess what? That's not His Spirit speaking to you. So you need Scripture in your life. The next one is laziness. I'm going to tell you how the laziness is messing up people's health big time. If you're too lazy to get on your hands and knees and pray without falling asleep, something is wrong. It says in Proverbs 18:9, a lazy person is bad as someone who destroys things. You're destroying two things when you're lazy. You're destroying your relationship with Yahweh and you're destroying your own health. If you're too lazy to make a salad, and you got to use this abomination called a microwave because you're too lazy to prepare some food, you're not going to be healthy. You need, if anyone has a microwave in the house, you need to get rid of it immediately. Immediately. I tell you now, if you water plant in a microwave and water, don't put your plant in a microwave, but but if you put water in a plant and microwave it and then water that plant with that water that was from the microwave, that plant will die. Microwave is one of the worst things you could have, but because of laziness, that's what people do. A lazy person is somebody who destroys things. We have to understand, it says in Proverbs 6:9, how long will you sleep, O lazy one? When will you arise out of your sleep? When will you arise out of your sleep? When that sun comes up, Yahweh is saying, get up. And what did man say today? I can't, I'm too tired. Why? Because I was up all night, I wanted to see who won American Idol. Because I was doing all these things all night that I shouldn't have been doing. Now I'm too tired to get up and do things for Yahweh. We have to understand, we need sleep. We need the right amount. But we need to sleep at the right time so we can get on the right eating schedule and live the right way. So we need to get this right. Yeah, if you're at a midrash at midnight, that's one thing. But you need to get up when Yahweh wants you to get up. And we're going to look at example in the scripts of all that. But we can't be working all night, working all day, and not getting that sleep that we need, because that's where true cleansing and healing takes place. It says in Psalms 127:2, it is useless for you to work so hard, early morning to early night, working for food to eat. For Yahweh gives rest to His loved ones. He will give you rest at the right times. But you start getting off His schedule and start getting on the world's schedule. Adrenal fatigue is the number one misdiagnosed disease out there today. People are burnt out. You cannot eat and live according to the schedule that man has created that goes off the clock and avoid Yahweh's timepieces, the sun and the moon, and expect not to be burnt out. He's given us a time to rest and a time to be awake. We look at examples in the scriptures of people that followed His timepiece. They had an important job to do and they did it. The first one we look at is Genesis 19:27. And Abraham got up early in the morning. The next thing we look at is Genesis 28:18. And Jacob rose early in the morning. The next one is Exodus 8:20. Yahweh said to Moses, rise early in the morning. He had a lot to do. Again, Exodus 9:13. Exodus 9:13, Moses got up early in the morning. 1 Samuel 15:12, Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. The next one, 1 Samuel 17:20, and David rose early in the morning. These people were excited to do Yahweh's work. I don't care how little sleep you got the night before. You're excited to do something, you're up early. You got to make Yahweh's word the first priority in your life and the thing you get most excited about in your life. But what do people do? What's the first thing people do when they wake up late? What's the one thing, if they even do it, that they leave out? They got to get ready for work. They got to fix their hair. They got to put on their makeup. They got to do all their stuff. I didn't have time to read scripture today. You need to get up early so you have time to do your priorities in right order. In the right order. Yahweh gives us times to rest and times to be awake. He gives us a schedule to follow. We need to stick to it. Each day he gives us the daylight and the nightlight. And the nighttime is when we should be sleeping, and the daylight is when we should be awake. Now, I know it's not practical to go to sleep when the sun comes down, but we should certainly be getting to sleep the majority of the time before midnight. But most people are up after midnight, watching TV and eating. The worst time to eat is midnight, after when it's dark outside. But that's when most people eat the most food. So we need to start getting right with his word. He gives us weekly times to rest. The Sabbath. The Sabbath to regenerate ourselves and to rest. We got to stick to his schedule. And you understand, the sun and the moon work with digestion of food, the sun and the moon, the cleansing of the body, and the Sabbath with the resting and healing of the body, all work together. And then he gives us the weekly time, the monthly times to rest, the new moons, and the yearly times to rest, the appointed feast. But we ignore, we reject these times. We make excuses for these things, and we end up with sickness or disease on one level or another. Whether we know it or not, we're creating sickness or disease in our lives. Now, I know many of you that didn't come here yesterday want to hear about diet according to the scriptures, and we're going to talk a little about that now. And we're going to see what it says about healing of disease, how to do that, and the medicine that Yahweh gives us to do that. And well, I'm going to leave time for question and answers today. What time are we supposed to finish? 5 o'clock, great. Okay. In 3 John 1 and 2, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you, and you are as healthy in body as you are in spirit." So it's not just about being spiritual. It's about being healthy. No matter how spiritual you are, if you're not healthy, you can't get up to praise. You can't lift your arms to praise. You can't get on the stage. You can't get out of bed to go preach. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. We need to be... as healthy physically as we are spiritually. And if something doesn't happen, it's going to happen sooner than later. So we need to get right with this. I'm telling every speaker here, I don't want you to do it to make me happy. You need to get rid of your coffee and your pizza parties at midnight to make your bodies and your temples cleansed so you can make Yahweh happy. We need to start putting our priorities in order. We need to start doing that. We look at what it says in the scriptures. First, we need to understand before we get into diet about habit versus addiction. Habit versus addiction. A habit is when we do something on a regular basis that we enjoy, but when we find out it's bad for us, we break that habit. Everyone say, break it.
Break it.
Say it with enthusiasm.
Break it.
Great. But an addiction is when we do something on a regular basis that we enjoy, when we find out it's bad for us, we make excuses to keep doing it. We need to change our addictions to habits and break them. That's what we need to do. Now, when it comes to diet in the scriptures, there's three areas we messed up on. And yesterday's tape and my tape out there about diet according to scriptures, we'll get more into these three topics. But there's three areas we messed up. Number one, we didn't stick to Yahweh's designed eating schedule. We didn't stick to his designed schedule because the schedule says we should eat when we can see our food during the daytime, and that's when the sun rays has a direct effect on digestion in the body and helps us digest the food better. And when it's dark outside, the body's cleansing and the moon has a gravitational pull on all the waters of the earth, including the waters of our body, and that's when our body is cleansing. When we're sleeping at nighttime, our body is getting the best healing. And when we're awake in the daytime, that's when our body is digesting the best. So if you're eating a somewhat healthy diet, even a raw food diet, in the middle of the night, it's an oxymoron. You're eating the best digestible food at the worst time to digest. Why not eat the best food at the best time? And eat no food at nighttime. Get to bed. Go to sleep on an empty stomach. So your body can do the cleansing job it needs to do. We didn't stick to his design schedule. He designed us to eat at a certain time. In the scriptures, it was during the daily sacrifices, the third and the ninth hour of daylight. After that, they ate. But man's time schedule is messed up. As man's time says that, you know, 7 a.m. today is 7 a.m. tomorrow. But Yahweh's time schedule said no 2 days are the same because the length of days is different every day. And even though Yeshua says there are 12 hours in a day, man says there are 60 minutes an hour. That's not what Yahweh says. Yahweh says you got to tell time by the sunrise and sunset. And divide that by 12 and you can decide how many minutes are truly in an hour. And then when you get that answer, you can know what the true third hour and ninth hour is. And those are the ideal times that our body's working to digest foods. Now you might have to be off a little because of certain reasons, but you don't got to be off by 6 or 7 hours. We shouldn't be eating all day long, picking all day long. 2 times a day is all we need when we're eating the good high quality food. If you want to eat 3 times a day, eat 3 times a day. But if you're eating more than 3 times a day and you're giving your spaces between your meals, you're going to end up eating at nighttime. We shouldn't be eating more than 3 times a day at most, and 2 is ideal. We look at these areas in Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, there is a time to every purpose under the heavens. The next part is we don't stick to Yahweh's diet plan. We don't stick to his plan. It's so simple. Genesis 1:29 says, I have given you the fruits and the seed-bearing, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and the fruit trees for your food. For your what? For your food. What did he give us? He gave us the plants and the fruits for our food. But then it goes on to say again in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, I take the animals and I give you the clean animals for your food, and the non-clean animals are abomination. Don't touch them. Don't even go near them. That's what Yahweh tells us. It's very simple. What does man do? Man says, well, that was back then. I'm going to go to my church barbecue and have some pork. Or I'm going to have some ham. I'm going to have some hot dog. Yeah, I'm going to have hot dogs. What do we do? Oh, Yahweh said that, but that was back then. Today's times are different. They didn't have Twinkies back then. It doesn't say, you know, then people say, do talk about the deception that they have back. You know, see, they don't want to look back then. They say, oh, that's Old Testament, that's Old Testament. But when it comes to tithing, they'll be like, well, it's important. The gospel of hypocrites, right? But we have to understand, then they do some crazy thing. They start saying, well, you know, if as long as we bless all things, it's good for us. I don't care how many times you bless a Big Mac, it's never going to be good for you. So we need to understand, you know, remember what I said about habits and addictions. Remember what I said. People make addictions or excuses for their addictions. Proverbs 23:20 says, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. It's not just what we eat, but he tells us how to eat it and when to eat it. I don't care if you're eating a raw vegan diet or a meat-based diet. I don't care if you're following kosher or you're not. If you're overeating, you are not keeping Yahweh's word because you are defiling your temple that he created. Overeating and undersleeping are the 2 major causes of disease, or that will result in disease. And the 2 things that are going to result in that is laziness and constipation that people have. Matter of fact, I know people that are so lazy, they're happy they're constipated, say they don't got to get up and go to the bathroom. That's how bad it's become in today's world. Now, some people try to deny that, but I don't list the people that are full of something. It says in Proverbs 23:20, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. Not only is it telling us not to overeat, it's telling us not even to eat with people that overeat. Because what do we tend to do when we do that? That's why I usually eat alone. So we need to understand and get our priorities right. Then finally, we make an idol out of our food. We make food more important than Yahweh. And this has become the biggest, common, most common problem that we have today. We look at all these things when it comes to diet, and I give you my favorite scripture when it comes to health and diet. And I ask it so many people all the time. I'm on Facebook. I have a group on Facebook. Who's on Facebook here? And all these find me on there. I just started a group called Raw Christians because they want to know about health, and we're going to show them about health. And I have a message board. I have my websites. But I'm going to give all that out in a little while. But I tell you, I ask them all, what's your favorite scripture when it comes to health? And they have some good ones on there. And you got to think about yours. My favorite scripture when it comes to health and diet, because a man so much as is making an idol out of food, is Job 23:10-13. Job 23:10-13 says, "But he knows the path that I take when he has tried me. I shall come as forth as gold. My foot has held to his steps. His ways I have kept and not declined. Neither have I backslidden from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That word necessary means everything. Because if you take that word out of there, that has no significance to that scripture. But when you say necessary, that means without that food, my here on life ceased to exist. But his words are more important than my life. We need to understand the pleasure of food versus the sin of overeating. King Solomon said it quite well in Proverbs 38:9. Proverbs 38:9 says, "Remove me far from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and take his name in vain." It says it quite clearly here in the scriptures. We're going to talk about healing according to the scriptures and how we can be healed. But before we do this, I want you to understand there's more to health than diet alone. There's more to help than diet alone. One of the keys that we seem to have forgotten and one key part of health is smiling. Good, thank you. There's more to health, but we're going to try some of these other health things, and then I'm going to tell you how Yahweh heals, and then we're going to close up here. First, let me give you my websites. PaulNison.com, PaulNison.com. I have a daily video show that I have Rico, Brad, and all of the speakers on there. It's RawLifeHealthShow.com. RawLifeHealthShow.com. Then I have my ministry site, which is TorahLifeMinistries.org. TorahLifeMinistries.org. If you're interested in talking to other people that are interested in what the Bible says about health, just go to RawChristians.com. RawChristians.com. And then, my favorite site, www.TooManySites.com. Don't write that down. I should check to see if that's available. And then I have a phone number. I have a toll-free phone number if you don't like to or know how to use a computer. My toll-free number is 866-RAW-PAUL. 866-RAW-PAUL. Now, I'm going to tell you about Yahweh's healing methods. But before I do that, understand, there are other things other than diet that are going to affect our health in many different ways. I speak all over the country, and when I talk about these other things, exercise, fresh air, water, getting enough sleep, these stretching, all these things are important. Probably just as important as food. I know people that do those other things, they don't eat a good diet, they're doing pretty well. I know people that eat a good diet, they're not doing those other things, they're not doing too well. So all these things are important. And I spoke yesterday about some things, for those of you that were here and returned, I spoke about some things that are not healthy. So we need to understand this. Now, we're going to look at some of these things we're not using to our fullest capability. We're going to play a game. We're going to play a game. The game's called Simple Paul Said. I'm very simple, and it's going to be a very simple game. Simple Paul Said. Is everyone ready to play this game?
Yeah.
Okay. Simple Paul didn't say to say yeah. Okay. Simple Paul asked, is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Okay. With enthusiasm?
Yes.
Okay, great. Simple poll says, everyone, please stand. Simple poll says, buy my book. No, I'm just kidding. No. Simple poll says, by the way, my book is out of, it's sold out here, praise Yahweh, but if you want to go to my website, I don't know if I gave you this one, but rawlife.com. But you can link it from the other sites, and that's where I sell the book. But I still have DVDs and videos. Now, Simple Paul says we need to use everything we've been given to our fullest capabilities. So the first thing we need to understand is we don't breathe enough. Simple Paul says, everyone take a really, really deep breath. And if you're going to get my book, let it out. No, I'm just kidding. Simple Paul says, please let that breath out. I don't want to have anyone to have any issues. But we need to breathe more. It's just breathe more. It's to our fullest capability. We just don't do that enough. Another thing we don't do enough is we don't smile enough. Simple Paul says, everyone, deep smile, big smile. Great. Simple Paul says, we don't stretch enough. Simple Paul says, everyone, stretch for the sky as high as you can. And this is the position I'm usually seeing people in New York. Okay. Simple Paul says, you can put your hands down. Okay. Simple Paul says, we don't exercise enough. The whole key to exercise, or the main key, is getting our blood flowing, getting our lymph moving, letting the body do its job. Now, there's many different types of exercise, and one of the favorite ones I love is something called rebounding. It's jumping up and down on a little trampoline, mini trampoline. So we need to... don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to do that today. However, the key is to get your blood flowing. So what we're going to try today is a different exercise, but I need everyone to pay attention because sometimes people miss this. This is a great exercise. While you're smiling, I want everyone... When I count to three, I want everyone to clap as loud as fast as they can 7 times. Now, I need a verbal confirmation because most people get this wrong, so I need a verbal confirmation. When I count to three, everyone's going to clap as fast and loud as they can 7 times. Does everyone understand that?
Yes.
Okay. You ready? One. Two. Two and a half. Three. Great, I just wanted to make sure I got a standing ovation. Now, since I'm not in New York, I feel comfortable saying this next thing. You may take your seats. When I say that in New York, we end up with an empty room. Now, because people actually take their seats. Now, you're all out because Simple Paul didn't say to take your seats. So you all lose. Okay. So nobody's going to win the prize. You think I'm tricky? Go to a church. Whoa! Okay. All right. By the way, Okay. I'll finish up with that in a little while, that one. So, all right. So, Yahweh heals. Genesis 20:17. And Abraham prayed to Yahweh, and Yahweh healed. Exodus 15:26. I am Yahweh who heals you. Psalms 103:3, who forgives all your crookedness and heals some of your diseases? All of your diseases. I have a ministry, Torah Life Ministries, and it's based on these next two scriptures. Because these next two scriptures show, that was Psalms 103:3. The one before that was Exodus 15:26. The first one was Genesis 20:17. Okay, all that exercise got your brains foggy. Oh, my voice messed up. Okay. So these next two scriptures show the connection that Yahweh and Yeshua have with the healing message found in Scripture. And this is what my ministry, Torah Life Ministry, is based on. And basically the ministry is taking the health message of Scripture to the believers that have missed it. How about going to sleep? How about we want to get up early and be praising and not all tired? How about having a in the morning we can go for a walk and, you know, breathe the fresh air or something? Huh? I'm from New York. I'm sorry. I don't understand this southern language. Energy fix? You mean from a diet standpoint? Well, here it is. When it comes to energy, it's not about something that takes our energy, that's going to give us energy. It's avoiding what's taking it away. When we get the proper amount of rest, we're going to have the proper amount of energy. It's like your cell phone. You plug your cell phone in at night before you go to sleep, so it's fully charged the next day. What happens if you forget to plug it in? The next day, it's not fully charged. We're supposed to get a certain amount of time every night to recharge. If we don't, we're not fully charged. And I'll tell you what, though. The food we eat, if we eat too much, too often, and too late, requires us to sleep more. And if we don't get the proper amount of rest and sleep we need, we're not going to be fully charged. So the key is not to stay in bed longer. The key is to eat wiser. Because you have to understand, all health, this I'm going to say now, you need to get this because no one else tells you this, and I'm telling you this. All health is determined by the quantity and quality of sleep we get. The point of eating a good diet is to put your body in the right position to get the proper amount of quantity and sleep we need. So we need to understand that and get that and believe that. So as I was saying, my ministry here, the second verse is Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35 says, Yeshua, well, let me go back to the first in case we didn't get it on the camera. The first part was Psalms 107:17-20. Psalms 107:17-20. It says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their being despises all manner of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry to Yahweh in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sends his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The second part is Matthew 9:35. Matthew 9:35 says, Yeshua was going around all of the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. And here's the connection. We have Yahweh saving, healing, and delivering. He saves us from sin, heals us from sickness, and delivers us from Satan. Then we have Yeshua teaching, preaching, and healing. He teaches us the knowledge that will save us. He preaches the good news that will heal us. And by his blood we are saved. We see that connection. What medicine does Yahweh use to make that happen? Well, there's many different things he's using, and I'm going to focus on some of them. The first one we're going to look at is herbs. We're going to look at the herbs Yahweh used. In Revelation 22:2, it says that the leaves of the tree are used for the healing of the nations. The leaves. You see, the herbs have they're green, and they have chlorophyll within them. And the chlorophyll cleanses the body. It cleanses the blood. It puts oxygen back inside the body. Yes, it says in the scripture in Leviticus 17:11, the life is in thy blood. They're talking about the blood of Messiah. But it also, from a disease standpoint, thy life is in that blood, because if your blood is dirty, your body is going to be sick. When your blood is clean, you're going to be healthy. And what is clean blood? Clean blood is blood that has the proper amount of oxygen that it needs, so cancer or other diseases cannot grow and multiply in the body. And the green leaves have chlorophyll, which has those things in it. In Genesis 1:11, it says, Yahweh brought a grass to the earth, and in Genesis 1:12, he saw that it was good. Do you want me to go slower? You're getting this. So it says, it is good. So we need those greens in our diet, no matter what you're eating, especially if you're eating things that aren't ideal. You need to have even more greens, but those greens are what's going to keep us healthy. The greens are alkalizing. The other stuff is acid-forming. Coffee and pizza is acid-forming and not in the Garden of Eden. That's man. Man, that's man's addiction to chocolate and to coffee. Man has this addiction on people. They're smoking, they know it's wrong. They're drinking coffee, they know it's wrong. And instead of saying, I really got to fight, this is bad for me, they make a joke about it. We need to understand. And it's not one cup of coffee that does people in. It's the addictive substance that makes people not be able to give up one cup of coffee. You know, people should be as addicted to their scriptures as they are to their coffee and their chocolate. And the other addictive things that society makes, they put it in candy and everything else, this addictive substance is. You can't go to a doctor. A doctor will just say, well, it's not your fault. Everyone has this issue. Well, that doesn't mean it's good. Doctor will give you away. Well, that's a disorder. That's something that you don't have control over. Like eating late at night. You know, more people eat late at night than ever before. And they're sick for it. Somebody goes to the doctor, instead of the doctor saying, just don't eat late at night, what will somebody doctor say? Well, you have a disorder. It's not your fault. Just take these drugs and you'll be okay. But when you take the drugs, they even tell them to take food with it. to make the problem worse. Late night eating disorder is something that's out there now. Late night eating disorder. Now, as we saw yesterday, did we talk about this yesterday? We have the sleep eating disorder, where people are continuously running on this problem all night long. And doctor said, I'm okay. Now, I know somebody, this man, he always come to me when I learned about health. He goes, you know, I feel terrible. He would go to the doctor, he'd come back. What's wrong? Doctor says nothing's wrong. And? Well, doctor says nothing's wrong, so I'm not going to give any more attention to it. Or he feels great, goes to the doctor. Doctor says something's wrong. And? Well, now I got to go do all these other things. You know, we cannot idolize these doctors and do this stuff. The other thing, Yahweh gives us even a more concentrated level of herbs. The essential oils that are extracted from the flowers and the herbs. So powerful. You got Pam out there, selling these essential oils out there. On my website, rawlife.com, these are the things that the medicine that Yahweh has given us that will heal us, that will keep us healthy. We look at what it says in the scriptures in James 5:13-16. James 5:13-16 says, is any among you afflicted? Let him make prayers. Is any in a good mood? Let him sing from the Psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the congregation and let them make prayers over him, anointing him with oil in the name of Yahweh, and the prayers of the faithful shall save the sick. Speaking of prayer, Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be saved. Heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. 17:14. Proverbs 15:8. Yahweh detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. Psalms 145:18-20. Well, let's go back. Yahweh just put something on my heart about Proverbs 15:18. Yahweh detests the sacrifice of the wicked. We look at Cain and Abel. Yahweh knew the wickedness in his heart and didn't accept his sacrifice. You see what happened. You know, and you're not going to commit murder unless you have a wicked heart. Unless it's, you know, in anything. You don't murder in self-defense. That's something different. The scriptures, the commandments don't say, thou shalt not kill. It says, thou shalt not murder. But man confused that and gets that around. Psalms 145:18-20. Yahweh is near to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth, he grants the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cries for health and rescues them. Yahweh protects all those who love him, but he destroys the wicked. Proverbs 15:29. Yahweh is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. We have to understand, we've been given this manual of how to be healthy. If you buy a new car and you get and it breaks down, you don't take it to the dentist. You go to the car manufacturer. We've been given the manual, and if something breaks down, we're supposed to go to our maker. I'm not saying there's not a place for a hospital. An emergency room is a wonderful blessing if we need it. If I get in a car accident, don't tell me to eat an apple. Send me to the hospital. And I hope the doctors there didn't hear my lecture. But you understand, Psalms 118:8 says, it is better to trust in Yahweh than to put confidence in man. I'm going to give you this scripture now. That's probably one of the most profound health scriptures in the Bible that we need to hold to. Wisdom 4:20-22. Proverbs 4:20-22. Proverbs 4:20-22 says, my son, listen to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Guard them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and healing to some of their flesh, all of their flesh. But now we can't just look that over. We got to look at that more closely. My son, listen to my words. In Deuteronomy 28:15, it says, if you will not listen to Yahweh and do his commands, curses shall come upon you. Incline your ear to my sayings. What does the word incline mean? It means to bend. Bend your ways to my sayings. Not only your ways, but your heart. In Psalms 119:36, it says, incline my heart to your testimonials and not to covetousness. 119, Deuteronomy 28:15. And all this is in my book and on my videos out there as well. Let them not depart from your eyes. Psalms 119 says, turn my eyes away from the worthless things. Give me life through your ways. Guard them in the midst of your heart. Do you know what the word to guard is? It means to defend. If somebody talks bad about your spouse, your children, or your friends, you don't say, well, that's your opinion and everyone has their own opinion. No, you defend their good name. But why, when somebody talks bad about Yahweh's word, does somebody say that? Where to guard and defend his good name doesn't mean you have to say something. Some people, just the way they carry themselves, will defend his word better than most people can do. However, we're called to do something. If you do nothing, then it's worse than doing anything you can imagine, because it says there's no neutrality with Yahweh. You're either for him or against him. There's no neutrality. For they are life to those who find them. Proverbs 8:35 and 36 says, whoever finds me finds life and shall obtain favor from Yahweh, but he that sins against me wrongs his own being. All they that hate me love death. All them that hate me love death and healing to all their flesh. You see, Yahweh disciplines us for our healing, for our good. It says in Proverbs 20:30, the wounds of a blow quench away evil. So do the stripes of the inward parts of the heart. What's another word for disease? Evil. The wounds of a blow cleanse away disease. We look at Romans 2:2 that says, do not copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let your heart be transformed so you will know the will of Yahweh, what's really good, and his perfect will. We have a simple choice. It's a simple choice. And I know many of you think, you know, you already know this. I'm preaching to the choir. I know you might think it. I am not saying, and I don't want to leave here angry saying this. I am not saying if you're sick or you know somebody who's sick that they're not righteous. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying, it says, there are some people that are glorified and sick for no other reason than to glorify Yeshua's healing methods or for some other reason. It was clear with the blind man in Scripture. So it doesn't mean if you're sick, you're not righteous. I'm not saying that. But it does say many are called and few are chosen. And if you're one of those people that are eating McDonald's in the middle of the night, you're not one of those few. You need to understand. We need to follow his word in all areas. Oh, his Torah is on my heart. It's so much on my heart, his Torah. His Torah is on my heart. I got to go get my pizza. Oh, his Torah is on my heart. I got to go defile my temple. His Torah is on my heart. I'm addicted to one of man's ways. We need to start getting right with this word. I better be careful. I might not be invited back here, right? So, but I want to come back here. And I don't want to be speaking here. I want to be speaking there. You need to tell Jim. Everyone needs to hear this. And it's not about me. Have somebody else come and give the message. They need the message. They don't need me. They need the message. We look at what it says, the simple choice in Deuteronomy 30:19. Oh, but first, thank Jim for having me, first of all. Because really, most places, most people wouldn't be as brave as Jim. Or, I want to say as wise as Jim, to have me come and speak this message. Because they don't want to offend people. But Jim, the Torah is on his heart, and he wants this to happen. And that's why he invited me. So we need to thank him for being brave enough to do that. Now we need to give him some wisdom and tell him next year, no pizza. All right. The wise, simple choice, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call the heavens and the earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And therefore choose life, that your seed may live. Does that not seem like a simple choice?
Yeah, but he doesn't tell us.
Well, look at this here. I wasn't really asking, but I was asking, but it's all right. Well, look at this here. 1 Kings 18:21. It shows how indecisiveness causes so much confusion. 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you keep hopping between two opinions? If Yahweh is Elohim, follow him. And if Baal, follow him. But the people answered not a word. But the people answered not a word. Simple choice. But the people are confused, just like they're confused today. Are you going to follow the world's ways and the customs? Or are you going to follow Yahweh's ways that were given to us, the design for the way we should live our lives? Matthew 6:24 says, no one is able to serve two masters, For he shall hate one and love the other, or he shall cleave to one and despise the other. You are not able to serve Yahweh and serve man. But I'm going to read Yahweh's word and defile my temple while I'm reading it. You are not able to serve Yahweh and serve man. So we need to understand this. We need to make the right choice. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of Yahweh leads to life, and he that has it shall stay satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. What's another word for evil? Disease. Disease. Now, I know every single person at this conference has a heart for Yahweh. I know it. I'm positive, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't. But I am telling you, there's ways me, you, and everyone else needs to continue to grow, continue to learn, but we have to put it into action, what we learn. To know good and not to do it to him it is sin. And before you came in this room, you might not have known these things aren't good for us. But now you know. So what are you going to choose? The past doesn't matter when it comes to this. It's what you choose right now and in the future. Well, I know what you're saying, but I got a whole bunch full of refrigerator full of junk food, so I'm going to finish that first, and then I'm going to start eating healthy. We need to make the right choice and start now. I know what it is to live life with a sickness. I know what it is to suffer with pain. And I do not want to see anyone have to go through what I went through and what I see people go through on a daily basis. Call me up with sickness and disease. People tell me, they're confused and all this. It's not about diet. We all know what foods are best for us or what's not best for us. It's a discipline issue. That's what it is. It's plain and simple. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You don't have to be 100% raw vegan to be healthy. You eat more fruits and vegetables. If you eat animals or animal products, eat the clean animal products. And diet's fine. It's a discipline issue. I know I can't eat too much. I got to practice temperance. I know I shouldn't be eating late at night. I should be sleeping. It's a discipline issue. And that's what the scriptures teach us. Discipline. Or they should. We go on to look what it says. The right choice. Proverbs 19:23. We already discussed that. The fear of Yahweh leads to life. And he that has it shall keep us satisfied. We shall not be visited with evil. John 8:32 shows us the final answer. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is that truth? In Ecclesiastes 12:13. King Solomon, after all his life of his great knowledge and his massive stupidity, came to this conclusion at the end of his life. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Here's my final conclusion. Fear Yahweh and obey his commands, for this is the duty of every person. Not these people or those people, of every person. Job 36:11 says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. Remember Ezekiel 33:11. He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. He only wants them to turn from their wicked ways so they can live, or so they can have life. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of Yahweh above all things. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Now, I'm going to close with one scripture and pray. The scripture I'm going to close with. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Simple Paul says, please stand. By the way, who has that paper that's going around with the names? Thank you. The scripture is Wisdom 3:5 and 6. Wisdom 3:5 and 6 says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, including your diet, your lifestyle, and everything, and let him direct your paths. Now, we all have the capability and opportunity to make this happen. Right now, with a big smile on your face and a lot of enthusiasm, Simple Paul says, everyone say, I can do it. With even more enthusiasm, with a bigger smile, look at the person next to you and say, you can do it.
You can do it.
Now look at the person on the other side of you and say, you will do it.
You will do it.
Now that person, look back at that person and say, don't tell me what to do. Listen, don't let anyone tell you what to do except Yahweh's word. Now understand this. Two of the most amazing things out there that people don't use enough is a prayer and a hug. We can call it a prog. A prayer and a hug. People don't do this enough. We need to use what he's given us. And I tell you, you know, this backwards world we live in, I could stand on any popular street corner in the United States, I could stand on there praying, and, you know, I could stand on there selling pornography and the police won't bother me, but if I'm there praying, they'll arrest me. I could tell you I could stand on any corner with a gun and say, freeze, don't move, and people will stand still, but if I start hugging people, they'll run away from me. Something is backwards in today's society. By the way, if you're ever in New York City and you want to get a seat in the subway, you don't ask anyone to get up for you, you just start hugging some strangers. Not only will you get your own seat, sometimes you get your own subway car. Sometimes you get a special seat in the back of a police car. But that's how backwards this world is. Let's pray. Abba, Father Yahweh, it's my prayer that everyone in this room here tonight or this evening, this afternoon, will take this message seriously. And I know and you know that we all struggle with some of the things you tell us. But we're to hate the things that we once loved and love the things that you love. And I know that you don't love sickness and disease in people, Abba, Father Yahweh. And it's my prayer that nobody here continues to love the world's ways. I pray everyone take this message seriously and they find ways in your word through prayer and action to make this happen. And you would give them the wisdom of how to do it and you will give them the means to make this happen and do it. You will take worry, fear, and all stress out of their lives. And you will take coffee and deliver them from pizza as well. I pray all these things in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen and hallelujah.